The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association. I am Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, and I am back as one of the co-hosts for this morning as we continue our deep dive into Napoleon Hill's classic work, Think and Grow Rich. Today is going to be an especially interesting and engaging show because there are no co-hosts. There are no guests. There are only co-hosts, and this is going to be an incredible opportunity for us to do a deep dive into not just one but two amazing chapters. We're going to be discussing Chapter 12 on the brain, which is the broadcasting and receiving station for thought, and the 12th step to riches. And we will also discuss Chapter 13 on the sixth sense, which is the door to the temple of wisdom and the 13th step to riches. I am really, really excited not only to be discussing these chapters, but to also have this amazing mastermind conversation with my co-hosts. Before I bring them in, I just want to let everyone know that this is intended to be a conversation. So although I know you're probably snuggled up under your covers and enjoying a great Saturday morning, I want you to pick up your phone and dial in to 661-554-9219 and be prepared to hit number one so that you can join the conversation because this is going to be one that you won't want to miss. And this is, again, just an incredible opportunity not to only discuss Napoleon Hill's classic work, but to join our co-hosts. As I bring them in, I'm going to ask that they each share a little bit about themselves and how the audience is going to be blessed by their presence. And first on the mic is Dr. Peter James. Dr. Peter James is a speaker, a professor, a high-performance coach. He is the real deal, and he is on the show this morning. So, Dr. Peter, what's going on, man?
Galen, how are you this morning, sir?
Fantastic.
Awesome, awesome. I'm excited to be here today, the last Saturday of 2019. What better way for me to begin my Saturday morning with you, Galen, with our listeners, with Miss Ann and our other host, and, you know, just and actually Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, especially this chapter that we're getting ready to dive into. Super excited to be here. My name is Dr. Peter James. I am the high performance coach. Yes, I am a professor of business and entrepreneurship. And I'm also a high-performance executive and business coach. And, this book right here, Galen, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to finish. And so I do neither. I continue to read this book over and over again, especially as we dive into this chapter. And I'm excited today, Galen, because this sixth sense thing is, is really interesting. We can go in so many different directions. So many people think of sixth sense as intuition, that voice in your head, the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just very interesting. So I'm excited to see what you, me, and Anne come up with as it relates to this pontification. And also our listeners who ask these questions around this sixth sense. So yeah, I'm here, man. I'm excited and ready to dive in with you.
Well, fantastic. This is going to be a great show, to say the absolute least. And the other co-host is more than a co-host. She's actually the founder and the master builder, the architect behind all of this intense learning that we do every week, Ms. Anne McNeil. Ms. Anne, please share with the audience who you are in case they happen to not know, and how you will bless the audience this morning.
Well, Dalen, thank you for adding architect. So now I'm the master builder and the architect and the contractor for helping you to build a strategic life plan for your life and your business. And Dalen, Peter just said, I'm also excited. We talked earlier before the show started, and I realized after reading this book since 1979, I am just realizing, as we discussed this morning, that this particular last chapter wraps it all up. When we talk about the connection with the sixth sense coming out of the conversation with the brain, it's going to be an empowering and enlightening conversation. As we just talk, just as if we're the only people in the world talking about our experiences with the sixth sense. So I am, again, you've already introduced me, the master builder, the founder of the International Mastermind Association. But equally as important, Galen, my desire through the International Mastermind Association is to build a place of accountability where people can come and give an account for the commitments that they've made to themselves in their lives and in their businesses. So that's me, and I'm ready to get started.
Well, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you, we are closing out 2019 and heading into 2020, and usually people start talking about resolutions and things that they want to do someday and how they're going to get started on January 1. And accountability is the key to everything. It's the key to making sure that you're actually working against your goals rather than talking about achieving your goals someday, which is my least favorite phrase, someday, because my daughter will tell you someday never, ever comes. So this is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I am a World Coach Institute certified executive coach who specializes in helping leaders, particularly in the consumer packaged goods industry, but just really any leader who's looking to crush their most important goals. That is my passion. That's what I've been doing for close to 30 years, both in corporate America as well as nonprofit area as well. Now I am here to do that on this show and for you individually. This is going to be an incredible show. Very often, actually every week, we are on this station, talking to a special guest, getting their insights on how this book or that particular chapter has impacted their life and factor into their success. Once a month, it's just the co-hosts where we come on and just share our insights, share our learning, try to give you a little glimpse as to what happens before we push go live for this show. Those conversations are absolutely amazing, and we try our best to share that with you at least once a month, and that is going to be this show. So if you have any free time, I would really encourage you to dial in, be prepared to ask questions. We are all servant leaders, and we love helping people achieve their maximum potential. You can do that by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting number 1, and you will be added to the conversation with Dr. Peter James and Ms. Ann McNeil. We want to send a very, very short shout out to two co-hosts that's usually with us. Pagin is the speaker that only requires one name. She's out in Germany doing some amazing things and spending time with family. We want to hold her up. And then Ms. Ursula Odom, the CEO and founder of Sula 2. She is doing some amazing things here in the United States. So both of them are with us in spirit, but we're going to keep this show going. So before we jump into our conversation, there may be some people listening that are not familiar with Think and Grow Rich or the 13 steps associated with Napoleon Hill's success principles. So let's take a quick break. Let's listen to those 13 steps, and we'll come back on and jump into our masterclass discussion.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith. Having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically. But we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thoughts, use the knowledge, use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spend some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
Well, welcome back, and as you heard, this is going to be an amazing show. Please, please grab your phone, dial in to 661-554-9219. Be prepared to hit number one so that you can be added to this conversation. And this is going to be just a masterclass conversation with only the co-hosts. There's no special guest today, and we are going to dive deep and really get into the elements of this book that impact us as we co-host each week, as well as we leverage our individual businesses. And one of the things I just want to kick off as I talk with the other co-hosts is I just really love not only the content of the book, but I'm really intrigued by the structure of the book. Because, you know, Napoleon Hill has done a great job of explaining each of the individual elements that go into his success formula, you know, whether it's desire, faith, auto-suggestion, specialized knowledge. He goes through all of those elements, and then he closes his book by talking about the brain, which explaining how the brain works, why this success formula works, and then at the very end, he talks about the sixth sense, where, and I'm always reminded of the words of Miles Davis, the greatest jazz musician in the history of all music, when he says, in order to be a great jazz musician, you have to learn everything you can and then forget everything that you've learned. And that seems to be what Napoleon Hill is following here. He's teaching you all the elements, and then he says, there's this other element out there where you've just got to listen to that small voice, and that seems to be what the sixth sense is. So with that, I want to bring in Ms. Ann and Peter. What's your take on, first of all, just the overall construct of this masterwork, and then how does the brain and the sixth sense kind of generally fit into how you do what you do, whether it's on this show or whether it's in the work that you do outside of the show? So let's go ahead and start with Dr. Peter.
Yeah, I appreciate this, and hopefully Ann can chime in with us there, Galen, as it relates to this work. I'm sitting here looking at this book, and it made me reflect on some of the things that you were just saying, especially relative to the table of contents and how the entire book was just constructed. And you kind of said it perfectly, is Napoleon Hill is teaching us a lot of these 13 principles here, and then almost telling us at the same time that forget everything you've learned, and let me tell you some stuff about the sixth sense and the brain and how it relates to everything that I've just told you. And I think that's somewhat powerful, because it can be related to life in and of itself. You know, a lot of times we go to school, we learn so much, and then as we get older, we realize that a lot of the stuff we learn comes back down to our hard work, our mindset, how we're thinking about things, as opposed to what we've learned along the way. And I think that's kind of an eye-opener for me as I sit here and reflect on it this Saturday morning. I don't know about you, Ann. What are your thoughts on how this book migrates?
Well, thank you, Peter. I'm just, again, like I said this morning, I am still a neophyte. I feel like I'm in kindergarten. I am just really beginning to see the connection between creative imagination, especially how it ties the brain to the sixth sense. And actually what Napoleon Hill says is that the creative imagination is the receiving set through which the vibration of thought are picked up from the ether. Along with this important factor of the subconscious mind, which we discussed 2 months ago, now he's connecting the subconscious mind, the brain, the creative imagination, and mixing it all together for our topic today, which begins to discuss the sixth sense and how the sixth sense is that hunch, that gut feeling, that nudge, that urge, turn this way, don't go that way, and all of a sudden there's a crash. Don't get on that plane, and all of a sudden there's a problem. Go this way, take this job, don't take that job. And so for me, as I delve into this material, I am learning so much about myself, my business, my interactions, my civic associations, and how I connect with people. But just tapping into this, I had a conversation yesterday with one of our Black NSA members that I'm coaching, and she shared with me, she said, you know, I am so glad that you suggested that I start getting up at 4 o'clock. We've had her on the show, so you know what I'm talking about. She said, I'm so glad you suggested that while we were coaching it, that I should start getting up at 4 o'clock, because now I'm really able to tap into my creative imagination, my subconscious mind, and really the sixth sense. And she literally said, you know, that hunch. But before that, I was so busy rushing. I get the kids up late. I get up late. Then everything else is just rushing, rushing, rushing. And I never really took the time to really connect with myself. And so that's my introduction to this material as we start this conversation. I am very excited. I thought I was excited about the other chapters, but this one, I think, just does it all for me. Back to you, Kayla.
Yeah, these are great synthesizing chapters, because, you know, if you listen to this conversation, you might be tempted to think, well, I'll just flip to the back and see how Columbo gets the guy in the end and read the synthesis, the sixth sense chapter, and really kind of cut out all the other reading, right? And Napoleon Hill even says that the sixth sense doesn't work, or at least it doesn't work effectively until you understand all the other elements. And it reminds me of every great iconic athlete, every great iconic artist. You know, if you were to go back into time and ask Picasso, hey, how did you come up with the concepts in your painting? How did you put your colors together? He probably couldn't tell you, right? Because of course he's learned all those things, and he knows what he's doing, but he probably couldn't explain how he does his masterpiece. Likewise with every iconic basketball player, whether it's Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, of course they've learned the fundamentals of the game, but most of them say when it's tip-off time, or when the whistle blows, I blink out and I have no idea what's going on around me. All that I feel is the game. And that's the case, I think, with anyone that's reached any level of mastery. There comes this point where they just become their art. And that is what Napoleon Hill is suggesting relative to whatever your success is supposed to come in. You've got to learn all the elements. You've got to learn the fundamentals, and he teaches all of those things. But you've got to step into reacting to the intuition, reacting to the hunches, and almost there's a way where you can almost request a hunch. You can request intuition. You can request inspiration, which that's something that he talks about in this chapter in particular. So I'd love to get one more take from everyone on what have been some moments where you have received inspiration or hunches, And just as Ms. Ann was saying, it may have come as a small voice, but as you look back, Steve Jobs even said that life only connects when you look backwards. So as you look back through your life, you can pick out those one or two moments where a small voice or a hunch guided you in a direction, and boy, is it a good thing that you took that direction, because it's made all the difference in the world. And I'll go ahead and start with that, because I talk a lot about my wife and my family, and they really are the driving force behind a lot of what I do. And there was a moment almost 27 years ago where I was vacationing. We had a group of friends at a house, and this young lady in the house said that she was going to take a walk on the beach her last night at the beach, which she loves. She was going to walk alone, and me being a southern raised gentleman, hearing my grandmother, I could not allow her to walk on the beach by herself at night. And I offered to escort her on the beach, and I am so glad that I did, because that young lady and I will be celebrating 25 years of marriage in just a few months. What are some examples from you, Ms. Ann, and Dr. Peter, where you have acted on a hunch, acted on inspiration, and it's meant all the difference in the world to what you do today?
Okay, I can go ahead and go, but if you can just humor me for 1 second as I go back to something you said, because you were reading my mind. I'd like to just read this, and then I'll answer your question. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. All right. When you were talking about the mastery, and the word was mastery, when you were giving all of the examples of everyone and becoming their art, and what Napoleon Hill actually says in the beginning of the chapter on the sixth sense, if I'll just read it for our hearing. He says that the sixth sense defies description. It cannot be described to a person who has not mastered. Let me say that again. The sixth sense defies description. It cannot be described to a person who has not mastered the other principles of this philosophy. Now, to go to your question about how has this showed up in my life, one particular example I could give, which I talk about often, because I keep thinking, what if I did not listen to that voice? And that's my story about 9 p.m., December 31st, 1979, when I decided to stay home on New Year's Eve and read this book rather than go out and celebrate with my husband and a group of friends. And everybody said, she just got to be crazy. You don't want to come out and party. But I was so deeply in debt and all of these, I could not have a good time. And I now see in retrospect, and you hit the nail on the head a few minutes ago when you said, Jobs said you got to go backwards to go forward. And oftentimes we do that. We really should do that in the form of a journal or something that we can actually document and see and release, because otherwise we're just traveling in our mind. But I think even right now, what if I had not done that? We would not be on this radio. What if I had not done that? I would not be in the 5 businesses that I had. What if I had not done that? My children would not be products of this book. What if? And I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to think about the what if. And that hunch, that nudge, that feeling. But then once you do that, I'd like to encourage you to think it's possible. Because the what if can become possible if you are willing to be held accountable and take the next step, and then the next step. And Gayla, that's actually what we're doing. Every time we come on the show, we are really tapping into the mastermind concept, because we're masterminding with each other, Others are just happen to be listening to our conversations. We're actually tapping into the subconscious mind and that self-confidence formula. We're actually tapping into the faith chapter. We're actually tapping into the sixth sense and the brain, because every time we come on this show, and whether we're talking with each other and sharing like we're doing today, or whether we have special guests to come on, we leave so much better than we showed up. So that's one example for me. And so we go to Peter.
Yeah, wow. Some deep stuff you guys are coming up with here. I'm not even going to go as deep as meeting my soulmate from Galen's perspective, or even the outcomes such as this show as it relates to Miss Anne. But I'll even make it a little bit lighter for everyone. And even from the perspective on maturity, I think this sixth sense comes with maturity. Napoleon Hill says in the text, seldom does any individual come into workable knowledge of the sixth sense before the age of 40. It doesn't mean that those under the age of 40 can't experience the sixth sense, but that maturity, those experiences, that education, that mindset, the understanding of all the other principles in this text, they all kind of have to line up a little bit. And I think that when they do, when you reach that level of maturity, the sixth sense comes much more easy. I'm going to throw out to both of you in just a little bit what that sixth sense looks like for you on a regular basis. Is it that still small voice? Is it intuition? Is it, that nagging of something in the back of your head that's telling you to do something, even though you're fighting it a little bit? I'm really interested to see what it looks like for each of us. But even just a small example of what it looks like for me, I do presentations, I do speeches a lot of times, and I was recently presenting to a group of maybe about 20 individuals from a career transitions group. And I had prepared my presentation for them. I'd, done a nice PowerPoint, as I usually do, always prepared to the best of my ability. Once I got there and I saw everyone introduce themselves and talk about some of their experiences and things like that, I realized that my presentation as I had prepared it wasn't going to fit, wasn't appropriate at this right time. I don't know what said it to me. I don't know exactly how. I just knew that I had to go in a different direction. And, yeah, I incorporated bits and pieces of it, but the direction that I went in was more applicable, more appropriate for that time, for that period, for this audience that I had, as opposed to me getting up and just doing the presentation as I had prepared for it as well. So what was it that gave me that? Was it the still small voice? Was it the intuition? I'm not quite sure, and that's what I kind of want to ask you guys. What do you think it is? Is it the Holy Spirit? Who's speaking to you about this? What is the sixth sense?
I can jump in there. I think it's obviously for different people, it's different things, right? And I think that at different times, it could be, even for the same person, it could be different things. But for me, I think it comes down to courage. It comes down to confidence, because I believe the sixth sense, or the Holy Spirit, is always speaking to you. It's always giving you suggestions and nudges and inspiration. But do you have the courage to follow it, right? And back to your point, Peter, I think earlier in your career, earlier in your maturation, you probably would have gotten the same inspiration, right? You probably would have heard the same voice. Gosh, I don't know if what you prepared is going to fit. But if you didn't have the courage, you'd have been tempted to say, well, I'm going to do it anyway, right? I'm going to do it anyway because I prepared it, and it's got to fit, right? I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make it fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been your response. I know that would have been my response many, many years ago. Whereas today, I've got a lot more confidence when I'm in my art, when I'm in my skill area, because I've done the fundamentals, right? I know how the elements go. I know what needs to happen, and I've got the confidence to veer off script to meet the moment, whereas I might not have had that before. You know, one of the things I joke about a lot, I saw this this documentary, I don't know, about 6 months ago, and the subject of the documentary was a guy who is the cornerstone of almost every entertainment mogul that I enjoy today. His name is Clarence Avon, and he's just the connecting piece. Everyone knows him. He's provided support, encouragement to almost anyone from, from Frank Sinatra. He knew Frank Sinatra, to President Clinton, to President Obama, to, you know, just almost any, Clive Davis, you know, all these people. But he's the connecting point. And so when I need that kind of inspiration to step in with boldness, I often ask, what would Clarence Avon do in this moment, right? So to answer your question directly, I think it's a different thing for different people, or it could be a different thing for the same person, but it's that courage to act on the hunch rather than just see the hunch as being interesting or a nuisance.
So what I'm hearing, let me jump in really quick, Galen. What I'm hearing you say before Ms. Ann jumps in is that, you know, without courage, the sixth sense doesn't come to fruition. So, Ms. Ann, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Galen was in mid-stride. Were you going to say something else, Galen? Galen, were you going to say something else before I comment?
No. I was just gonna agree with Dr. Peter.
Yeah, I really am starting to believe. This section that talks about the fact that, and we're still, for those of you who are listening to us, and we're going to shortly go to a commercial break, but when you stop and think about in the brain, chapter on the brain, and both in the sixth sense, it talks about this intangible force. And what Napoleon Hill says in the section on the brain, under the greatest forces are intangible, he says, you know, sometimes men speak lightly of the intangibles, the things which they cannot perceive through any of their five senses. And when we hear them, it should remind us that all of us are controlled by forces that are unseen. Now, another section in the book, he talks about the fact that we have another self, we have an invisible self. And we talked earlier about the fact that the brain itself is a receiving and broadcasting station, not just for ourselves. Now, here we go to your question, Peter. See, you were actually picking up the brain waves of the others in the room. And that connected in your sixth sense to say, you know what, I can go and do what I think I prepared to do, because I've spent all of this time and probably some money to prepare. But that hunch, that nudge, that urge, that spirit, whatever you want to call it, infinite intelligence, said to you, no, maybe not. And here comes creative imagination speaking, right? And then here comes all of the desires and those things that you've learned. Because remember now, the beginning of the book talks about the desire, the faith, imagination, all of these things, these principles, I'll call them principles, that's what they are. And if you did not have the desire to deliver a really good product, that hunch would not have connected, that sixth sense would not have spoken to you. Does that make sense, anybody? Because, again, I think that when we talk about this whole temple of wisdom coming to our, this is what Napoleon Hill says. He says, there comes to your age to do your bidding with the development of the sixth sense, a guardian angel who would open to you at all times the door to the temple of wisdom. And I think that that's what happened in your presentation. I think we should probably go to a commercial break. We're going to encourage our listeners to press 1 on your dial if you'd like to ask a question or you'd like to make a comment or if any way you'd like to participate in the show, because all of us have experiences and we'd like to hear from any of you. Just press 1 right after this commercial and share with us maybe one of your hunches or one of your nudges or something that you've been led to do or to go or to turn or not turn to avoid impending danger or maybe to just be blessed. So, Gayla, we'll go to a commercial break and then we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. You've been listening to all of the co-hosts, Ms. Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, and Dr. Peter James, the High Performance Coach, and myself, Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist, talk about the brain and the sixth sense as described by Napoleon Hill in his classic work, Thinking or Rich. And as you heard, we encourage you to call in. This has been an incredible conversation so far, but we are missing you. So please dial in to 661-554-9219 and hit number 1, and you can be added to the conversation. And we've been talking about those times when we have followed a hunch or tuned into our hunch and or inspiration, and that has made all the difference in the world. And we've just kind of shared a couple of stories where that's happened to us, either personally or to celebrities or iconic people that have done incredible things in the world. It's all been sparked from an inspiration or hunch. One of the things I'd love for us to discuss, what are some of the reasons why we tend not to follow an inspiration? And Napoleon Hill talks about the importance or the significance of fear and how fear gets in the way of us enjoying the success that we would ordinarily or otherwise enjoy. And he even goes as far as to share some ways to overcome fear. But what are some? So I'd love to hear from Ms. Ann and Dr. Peter as to the role that fear, or more importantly, overcoming fear, may have played in some of the things that you've done. Have there been times when a step might have taken a lot of courage? It might have been dangerous for some reason, and you decided to go it anyway. And if that was the case, what helped you overcome that fear? So, Dr. Peter, would you like to start? No, Ms. Sandy, go ahead.
Okay, yeah.
Ladies first.
Thank you. As you were talking, I thought about leaving my first job and stepping out on faith with a lot of fear and a lot of debt. But it was while reading this book again and again and deciding that the faith outweighed the fear, but it was not my faith. And let me go to the invisible counselors for a second that he talks about in the sixth sense. It was the faith that I had in the others. When I read about the stories of many people who defied the odds and stepped out, and I think that oftentimes we don't because we don't know of others who've done it, and our faith may not be strong enough to take that leap. And that leap could be investing in a business. It could be starting a new career. It can be taking a class, getting a degree. It can be building a home or getting an apartment. It can be a lot of different things that we've been taught. We don't do it that way here. We've been taught, well, that's not going to work. We've been taught, who do you think you are? You know, we've been taught that nobody's ever done that before. We've been taught all of these things because of the fears of others. Going back to that broadcasting station, because it's not always positive. But I believe that as this chapter wraps up with the invisible counselors and the different people that Napoleon Hill tapped into as his cabinet of advisors, that when we begin to study the biographies and autobiographies of people who have already exceeded and succeeded in doing what we desire to do, it's possible. It's possible. And so for me, it was really leaving my first job and starting down that road of construction, which I knew absolutely nothing about. But again, from reading this book over and over and by faith, just believing that it's possible. But at the same time, going back to the chapter he talked about specialized knowledge, I made sure that I took a class. I went to trade school, and I was the only girl in the class, even though at the same time I was working on a master's degree, and my family and my friends laughed at me in the 70s, like, you know, you got to be crazy. And so that's one example from me in terms of just stepping out, not seeing how it's going to work, but thinking about and reading about the lives of others and how they did. And I figured if they could do it, you know, I could do it too. And even if I fail, I just start again and reset and start again.
Hmm. Yeah. So yeah, before we go to you, I'd love to just kind of tag on to something that Ann alluded to. So many times, and this could just be me. I don't think so. I think that this is more universal. But so many times we'll have this idea, we'll have this hunch, we'll have this inspiration of something that we want to do or feel like we're called to do, and we will go immediately to, well, how are we going to do it? And because we can't answer how do you do it, that becomes the fear that holds us back from even starting, from even trying, from even, you know, taking the trade school class, from even evaluating what are the steps that might go into making this a reality. And, you know, even Napoleon Hill says the first step is desire, right? You have to get locked into the desire. And then, yeah, one of the steps is you have to do some organized planning. You've got to get some specialized knowledge. You've got to get educated, but the first step shouldn't be how will I do this? Because if we wait to understand how, we will never do anything. Everything that's ever been invented or accomplished was first impossible. So, you know, and I just there was another saying suggesting to me that I needed to share that. So, Dr. Peter, you're getting ready to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is all so good, such good stuff. A few different directions I want to go in. So, you know, Anne just mentioned, you know, in any autobiography of a successful individual in history that you've ever read, they've all had to step out on faith on something. They all had to take a risk in some form or some fashion. Now, I'm going to go back in a different direction here, especially in the African-American community. Oftentimes, you know, we are told to play it safe. We are told to save your money. We are not really taught to take those calculated risks as much as we need to, as much as other cultures are. Maybe there's some historical relevance to that. But you know, a lot of times we're brought up to protect the nest egg, what little nest egg we may have. But, you know, as opposed to every now and then you hear somebody, and I hear this a lot as I teach, and at the college level, I teach entrepreneurship. And it's so funny because teaching entrepreneurship and actually doing, living entrepreneurship are two different things. So you might have an idea in your head. It's a phenomenal idea. Maybe it's a field that you've been in, and you know this thing can be successful. But you don't do it because the timing is not right. Galen was alluding to this a little while ago. You know, everything is not lining up. And as Galen, as you mentioned this, there's never going to be a perfect time. There's never going to be that perfect instance for you to go ahead and take action. Go ahead and pull money out of your savings in order to make this a reality. Surround yourself with the right people in order to make this a reality. Go out on that limb to follow your dreams. It doesn't mean to be careless or reckless, but it does mean to follow that hunch, follow that lead, take action, you know, do the things that you need to do in order to get one step closer to your dream, to your vision. And I think this sixth sense and this brain conversation tie very closely to this process of go ahead and taking action, the courage, as again Galen alluded to, as opposed to just sitting in your comfortable chair and not doing anything because you're playing it safe. I'm just going to go to college and get that degree and do what I'm told and follow the rules, right? As opposed to stepping out into the uncomfortable. Your sixth sense is telling you something, that hunch, that intuition is telling you something, but you're not doing it because you want to continue to play it safe. So I know I got to ask the audience, as they continue to listen to what we're pontificating on, what does that look like for you in your life? What has it looked like for you in your life that you're not taking action on that you need to begin doing so today? So that's just a little bit of what I took away from the Galen there. Yeah, yeah.
If I went on the show, I'd call in. That is powerful. Galen, I'm stuttering here. Peter, what's up?
It's just one at the end of the year.
That was empowering.
Well, we said we wanted to pre-call. We said we wanted the pre-call on the show. This is the pre-call. This is what happens. This is what happens every week before we go on air.
Well, listen, this is the pre-call. It's just us. But listen, you just reminded me of the E-Myth by Michael Gerber. Mm. Because so many of us also, we start businesses that we know the craft and we're experts in that thing. But, oh, my goodness, we don't really know what we don't know about how to run, operate, finance a business and all of the intricacies that it entails. And so this is almost time for the show to be over. My goodness, where did the time go? So,
well, hey,
listen,
before we move towards closing the show, let's go to one more commercial break because this one is where we talk about the annual meeting. And the annual meeting is going to be really this magical place for you to take time out and actually think about not only what you want to do, but get inspiration, get energy from like-minded people to give you that courage to do the things that you've talked about doing, as well as celebrate your accomplishments for the past year. Because very often, we harbor on our mistakes and we just brush off our victories. And it should be just the opposite. So let's take another break and get some information about the upcoming annual meeting.
Are you having problems adhering to your goals? Is your life coming to a standstill because of procrastination and failure to meet deadlines? You can change that by attending the International Mastermind Association Annual Accountability Meeting on January 4th of 2020. Our meeting will enlighten you and help you grow rich. Commence your year with an effective blueprint developed with accountability expert Ann McNeil. Attend this meeting and transform your life by listening to her teachings on changing your thinking and growing rich. Our annual meeting gives you a chance to reestablish your purpose and focus on your goals. Get renewed and inspired by attending this meeting at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Purpose to attend and learn to develop a successful and effective blueprint of success in thinking and growing rich. Do not come alone. Tag along with family and friends. Simply register at www.internationalmasterminders.com/events. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow our page and post your questions or comments.
Well, that is going to be an incredible, incredible time together. I have my tickets. I've already booked my flight. I am ready to go. This is actually going to be my first time attending the annual meeting, and I will share with you guys that the preparation has just been so amazing for me personally, because there's a bit of self-reflection that you have to do, thinking about the entire year. And like I said, there have been a couple of things, maybe three or four things that didn't go quite the way I had wanted them to, had planned for them to, and that was taking up so much of my mental space. And it wasn't until I had to document all of the things that I had accomplished, both accomplishments as well as those things that missed the mark, that I really had a kind of a reset and had to really appreciate 2019. And boy, I am on fire now as I think about 2020 and going to this annual meeting, and I hope that everyone will make plans to attend as well in Boca Raton. So I'd love to go around again, just hear from everyone. What are your final thoughts about either the annual meeting, the text that we've been talking about, or anything in the Think and Grow Rich book, and then also share how people can get a hold of you if they want to get some one-on-one time with you in your area of expertise. Let's go ahead and start with Dr. Peter. I like ending with Ms. Ann, but Dr. Peter, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely, Galen. A great show, phenomenal. Looking forward to seeing everyone in Boca in a few days. I am looking forward to this annual meeting as a fresh start to the new year for myself, in order for me to take a little bit of more time to dig deep into my plan for the new year. This will be my second year going, Galen. I'm looking forward to connecting, looking forward to being held accountable for my actions. And I think that's a big part of this whole experience, is who is holding, this is for the audience right here now, who is holding you accountable, right? Who is holding you accountable? And if you don't have someone who is really saying, hey, you said you were going to do this, where are you at with it right now? You might want to take a step back and analyze who that needs to be in your life. And if you can't think of somebody, this annual accountability meeting here is the perfect setting for this type of activity as well. Relative to our conversation today, wow, some great pearls about this sixth sense, about, you know, following the sixth sense more, especially as I continue to get older, as I continue to mature, to really listen to that still small voice that is nudging me in a certain direction. I'm going to commit to doing that more, especially since I've had the education, I have the experience. So there's no reason why I should not trust that still small voice in my head, by all means. How the audience can get in touch with me. Again, my name is Dr. Peter A. James. You can find me on all social media channels at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames, all one word. And Galen, back to you and Miss Ann.
Yeah, well, I definitely encourage everyone to reach out to Dr. Peter James. He is, I can tell you firsthand, he is an amazing coach. If you are looking for accountability and insight, he is definitely someone you need to have in your circle. Miss Ann, what are your thoughts about the annual meeting? What are your thoughts about this show in particular? And, you know, just to finish off with something that you said earlier, I'm just so thankful that 40 years ago on New Year's Eve, you listened to that Sixth Sense and began this journey that we are now able to take advantage of today. And I just really want to thank you for that, just knowing that this is the 40-year anniversary of that leap of courage on your part. I just wanted to say how much we appreciate that. So what are your thoughts, and how can people get a hold of you?
Wow, that's a lot. And as you were talking, I want to encourage you and Peter, since you're going to be getting together this week, bring your life in writing. Share it with each other before you come, because you're mastermind together. And take that opportunity to bring a printed copy of your goals and your accomplishments and sit down together as masterminders and have a man-to-man conversation. Give it a couple of hours, though, because it's going to take that just for the two of you. So with that being said, this is a powerful, powerful way to end the year and to end the show, talking about the power of the sixth sense, talking about infinite intelligence. And what I'm realizing 40 years later is that I am not dreaming big enough. I am not listening to that small voice. I am not trusting as much as I could. I am not thinking as big as I could, because a large percent of what I wrote 40 years ago, because I did a plan for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and what would my life look like 40 years in the future. I'm in the 40th year now. So right now, as a part of my plan that I'm writing for next weekend, is what will 40 years in the future look like for me? I do plan to be here, but in the event that I'm not, what legacy will I leave? Will I have lived a life of significance? Will I have mattered to anybody? Is it documented? And that is what the annual meeting is about, documenting the process. We have some kids who are now adults, and they were kicking and screaming. They didn't want to come. They didn't want to write. But we have documented their last 5, 10, 15 years of their life. Sometimes it's one sheet of paper. Sometimes it's two or three. And this week, I had three of them who now have families to come back to me and say, you know what? Thank you. I get it now. And so this is what this hunch has done. I want to challenge everybody who's listening to us today. What is it that you're not doing as you do not follow that voice? And there are people who will only hear your voice. They're not going to hear Galen's voice. They're not going to hear Peter's voice. They're not going to hear Ann's voice. They will only hear your voice. And so we want to encourage you to take time, write your goals, but also consider getting with your family. After this show is over later today, my family, we're getting together, which we do annually, and we've been doing this now for a handful of years, as a part of our family goals. We've written our family mission statement, and once a year before the annual meeting, we come together and hold each other accountable and require that each of us bring our life in writing so that we're all aware of what the other person doing in the family. How can we help support each other? Because when you think about it, in the family, if you don't set aside time to do this, we just stay on that treadmill, and we assume that we know. But going to one of my favorite books, a different book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Family by Stephen Covey, where he talks about the power of the family being on one accord with the family mission statement. So, Galen, I'm just excited to be on this journey with all of you, and I'm excited to serve. But going into 2020, I am making a commitment to myself, to my God, and to all of you that I intend to take it to an entirely different level. So back to you, Galen.
Well, fantastic. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. I have certainly enjoyed this deep dive into two synthesis chapters out of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. This is really where everything comes together. And you can reach me at www.galenbingham.com if you want to get hold of me. I also encourage you to go on to Eventbrite and sign up for Galen Bingham Inspired Mastermind. We are going to be diving into the critical steps of realizing any goal and how to overcome any limiting beliefs that might be threatening your success. And you can definitely be a part of this 10-week mastermind discussion. I've just, again, just really enjoyed this conversation and would ask you guys to join us each week as we talk about some element of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich mastermind wonder masterpiece. That's what we do every week. I'd like to close with a quote. This is actually one of my favorite quotes. And this is by James Michener. And he says, "The master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his education and his recreation, his love and his religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he's working or playing. To him, he's always doing both." And so with that, I'd like to wish everyone a very, very happy new year as we close out 2019. Hope you will join us at the annual meeting, a great way to launch your 2020, and join us each week on the International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show as we discuss Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. With that, I'd like to bid you farewell.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.